So the International Olympic Committee says they're banning anybody showing women basically from the bottom down, even in wide shots. They're saying it's evil, it's horrible, it's sexist, normal, you know, humans liking each other, males liking females, females liking males. And meanwhile, though, drag queen story time, gay pride parades with little kids, pedophilia, sexualization of kids, all that's okay. One of the writers commenting on this said, this is a very good example of high sexual neuroses, but on a institutional level. You have the implicit idea that male desire is immoral and dirty and dangerous, that it contaminates female dignity, violates them with uncontested, unconsented sexualization, but with the added institutional level that male desire is a moral danger and must be managed from the outside, and some sort of external authority, in this case the broadcaster, needs to be tasked with manage with possible sexual perception of female athletes, because it is unacceptable and even dangerous that male desire be activated. And it goes on. And you can tell this is a female neurotic system, because it, at no point is it suggested that women perform in clothes that aren't one step above underwear. No, it's the dirty men and their horrible sexual leering that taints something innocent with scary and threatening sexuality. So you end up with an institutional sexual neurotic behavior, treating male desire as a public risk that must be managed, but then women can run around and do whatever they want. Then you have Islam coming in saying, no, it's so powerful, you got to put it in a beekeeper suit, and you got to keep them as slaves because the men can't be trusted. It's all out of control. Let's go back to Trump, though, flip-flopping on Epstein. We can't forget this and forget what the real degeneracy is, the elites in Hollywood. Here it is.
It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats. And some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net. And so they try and do the Democrats' work. Instead of talking about the things we've achieved, we've had tremendous achievement. They're wasting their time with a guy who obviously had some very serious problems, who died 3-4 years ago. I'd rather talk about the success we have with the economy, the best we've
done. Under your federal control, he died.
The things we've done, including the Middle East.
2019, when you were president.
Instead, they want to talk about the Epstein hoax. And the sad part is it's people that are really doing the Democrats' work. They're stupid people.
He said, my past supporters have bought into this bullshit hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson. They probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left. And then he said, let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. And then he said, I don't want their support anymore.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
You said you were going to expose it.
Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt. And all
Mr. Epstein, the sex slave will be delivered to the Hyatt. The children will be delivered for your pleasure. John Podesta, the 7-year-old, will be delivered to the hot tub for you. And then Lednick, right beside him, at the island, living next door, lying about it.
I don't understand why it keeps going. I think really only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something.
And the reason we're bringing this back up is Congress is about to bring all this back out.
I would say let them have it.
President Donald Trump's attacks on conservative commentators.
And when the Democrats get back in, you know what's going to happen.
Firestorm. In a Truth Social post, Trump targeted Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Alex Jones, and Megyn Kelly, accusing them of having low IQs and fighting him for years because of it. The barbs have prompted sharp retaliation from his critics. Alex Jones, founder of InfoWars, responded on X with a podcast clip saying he's endured hell supporting Trump as the lesser of two evils.
So if you think I've been coming after you, if you think that I'm trying to get clicks by attacking you so the Democrats that don't buy anything from me and don't like me want to put me in jail, if you think I've been on your...
do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
A bunch of sunken, blown-up ships. We got U.S. bases and ships hit, Kuwaiti ships, more than 10 countries hit, Israel threatening to use nuclear weapons, Iran threatening to obliterate their nuclear sites, hit Israel's nuclear sites. That's an Israeli ship on fire right there. Now we have Iran through the folks in Yemen saying that they are going to close that strait. Iran threatens to close the Bab el-Madab Strait. We also have Matt Bracken's map here. He put together of the energy war, Russian energy hit, Europe's energy being hit, the U.S. NATO blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. This goes back years up to now, and all the different sites being hit by Iran, Iran being hit, and what's it causing? Massive energy price increases. Shortages and shortages of fertilizer, helium used for chip manufacturing, and more. So I appreciate Matt Bracken, former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, one of the best, smartest, wide-knowledge counterterrorism experts out there, to not just hit this, the war in Ukraine, the escalations there, Iran 137 days in, but also what he believes is coming next in all of this, and is there any off-ramp for Trump? We saw Trump snubbing Netanyahu the last 2 weeks, not meeting with him in D.C. Then they wanted to try to come to the NATO meeting or wanted him to come to Israel. He snubbed him on that. Israel's not part of NATO. Then we have Trump coming out and saying that he leaked to Axios' phone call with Netanyahu last week. That article's at AlexJonesLive.com. It just broke today, saying that, and I told you it's Trump leaking to Axios. Now they admit that's the one doing it. So we have the neocons saying, let's arrest whoever's leaking that Trump's mad at Netanyahu to Axios. It's Trump. And Trump saying, I don't want greater Israel. I want you out of Lebanon. I want you out of Syria. Netanyahu says, no, we're going to stay there. So this is really coming to a head. Is it just for our consumption or is it real? We'll cover it all with Matt Bracken. And I want to give the number out. And we'll just take 6-7 calls towards the end of the hour, last 30 minutes or so. Your comments, your questions on the geopolitics, on the war. This is a regional war. It's been a regional war. It never ended. The strait is closed. Trump sent ships in closer. They had to pull back because missiles were being shot at them and got very close. He said a month ago that Iran can keep it closed. It's only 18 miles. They've got the artillery, the missiles to do it. But then he keeps saying now he's going to be the guardian of it. He's going to take 20%. And then he backed off that because he can't get control of it and said, well, we'll just get investment in the U.S., this is floundering. This is beyond flip-flopping. This is certainly not 3D chess. So Matt Bracken of enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. You can also find him on X. We'll put his X account up there under him as well. Appreciate you coming on because you're one of the best minds on this, probably the best that we have on as a guest, to give your take on it. I also look at Lindsey Graham's death. And you have Larry Johnson, former deputy head of counterterrorism, CIA, and the State Department, who, as you know, trained the Pentagon, saying his Pentagon sources in the main command center said the generals believed as of Sunday, and we're trying to see Johnson's new statements on it, that Graham did die actually in Ukraine. The timeline doesn't fit him getting back, but maybe he did die here. I don't know. The FBI raiding his house, still there 4 days later. A lot of bizarre behavior taking place. We'll pick your brain about all those topics that all tie together. Matt Bracken, thanks for being here. Obviously, we can go 35,000 foot feet first to the energy war, and then let's drill into what's happening in the Middle East in this new threat to close this other strait. Matt Bracken.
Well, you can tell I think in terms of maps. I think, you know, for me, making these maps, or I just take maps I find and then add things to them, you know, to make them fit, you know, today's news. But Mike Adams, you know, he just wrote a text post today that I think is out of this world. I don't think there's anybody that nails all of the, you know, it's not just energy, petroleum, gas, oil, all of the other things that are being blocked right now. And what they mean.
What's the name of the post? We'll pull it up and you can read it on air.
It's Mike Adams posted it like maybe early this morning. It's like it's a long post. It'll take 5 minutes to read, but I did retweet it. But he's just brilliant on this is going to cause famines. You can't feed 8 billion people if you take away half the food because half of the food depends on fertilizer that's not going to be shipped. It's just math. So that's the Mike Adams, you know, economic and commodity and, you know, supply chain part of it. But in the geopolitical part of it, if you can, that's great. That post, I wish that could be read in the White House, the Pentagon, everywhere. And so much would change if it was. But if you put up my energy world war map again, you mentioned Nord Stream. I forgot to put a little bomb symbol over the Nord Stream because that was absolutely part of this whole thing. And you could say it was the
opening salvo 3 years ago.
Yeah, depending on when you you could say it really started with the Maidan coup in 2014. There's a bomb blast in the Med. That's where a Russian ship was sunk, either torpedoed or otherwise sabotaged. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. And that ship was carrying a strategic cargo through the Mediterranean to Vladivostok. Then you've got the U.S. destroyer disgracefully sinking a virtually unarmed, newly commissioned Iranian, smaller than a frigate, like a corvette called the Dina, which was doing a diplomatic port visit in Iran. And early in the days of this war that we started, not a defensive war, we torpedoed that ship, you know, which is like using a sledgehammer on a mouse, you know, a mouse that's in a mouse trap. And believe me, the Iranians haven't forgot that, or the girls at Manab and many other things. But yeah, this is becoming a world war. And if you look at the two fronts, the main fronts of this war, the Ukrainians have struck all the way up to Murmansk with drones, either provided or engineered with, you know, British, American, and German help. So it stretches all the way from Murmansk to the Bab al-Mandeb Strait and even to Ceylon, which is where the, you know, Sri Lanka, which is where that Iranian ship was sunk. There's only 800 kilometers, which is 500 miles between these two fronts, but it's actually closer than that because the whole Black Sea is now a battlefront. Because these sea drones are striking Russian ships all over the Black Sea and even in the Sea of Azov. And if you consider that our war against Assad, who is a Russian ally in Syria, is also part of this war, it's really close. You know, you had Russian bases on the Med, an air base and a naval base right on the Med sent for decades and decades. And our man, who is named Jolani, who was an ISIS head chopper sent to Syria by al-Baghdadi, one of his senior lieutenants, he's now renamed Sharah, wears suits, has a haircut, visits the White House, yucks it up with Trump right in the Oval Office. He's a head chopper, but he's our head chopper. And Trump has said, maybe we'll send him into Lebanon. Okay, so look at how close this is all knitting together to being just one world war. You know, you have our side, the Brits, America, Germany, supplying deep strike weapons to Ukraine to fire into Russia. And this is like a new form of proxy war, where if you have a vassal state that is basically under your complete domination and control, you can use it as a virtual launch pad. You can ship HIMARS there. You can ship ATACMS there. You can ship long-range drones there. Fire them out of Ukraine, anywhere in Russia, and then say, oh, that's not us, that's Ukraine. Well, Russia's about over it. They've been threatening, you know, they've been
well, that's where that's where I was going next. We had Putin and Lavrov last week saying, we're done talking. You want total war. We're going to start hitting NATO targets. Victor Boots, very well dialed in. He said it's coming very, very soon, including hitting the UK, Germany, and France, definitely sinking NATO cargo ships with weapons. I mean, do you think that's really going to happen? And if it does, how do you expect NATO is going to respond? This is a serious escalation. But as Russia said, proportionally, they've not escalated up to the level of NATO financing all these deeper and deeper strikes on the energy sector and on civilian targets inside Russia, all extremely provocative.
You know, another similarity between Iran and Russia at this point is that the populations seem to be ahead of their leaders in terms of wanting to accelerate. You know, Putin is being criticized for not attacking these factories, for not escalating, for just taking it. You can't call it a special military operation anymore, you know, when they're hitting practically to Lake Baikal. They've hit refineries near Lake Baikal to Murmansk. So it's very deep inside of Russia, very big threat to Russia. Then you have in Iran with the big state funeral, all the red flags were the revenge flag, meaning we want more. We don't want this memorandum of understanding. They've now rejected the MOU and said America wasn't complying with it, so it's out the window. They put up their own map. That's if you can put up number four. That shows the Strait of Hormuz, and the Iran has now said we're forgetting the MOU. It's worthless. That purple area is now the zone that Iran says if you want to transit the Strait of Hormuz, any ships in that area have to report to us. They're under our control. And what's really significant about that is that covers the port of Fujairah that you'll see. That's at the end of a pipeline. So this was one of the two ways to circumvent the Strait of Hormuz for large amounts of oil. You know, so like several million barrels per day were going out of that pipeline through Fujairah. That port's been struck. And also on the Red Sea, there's a port called Yanbu where Saudi oil's been going, you know, westward across Saudi Arabia to the Red Sea. That can now be closed by the Houthis. You know, when they decide to come in with Iran, then you've got the United States Navy. They're outside of the Gulf of Oman.
And let's raise that point. It's reports that Trump sent the main fleets in closer. They got bombarded and did have to pull back. Trump has ordered them to take the strait, the water. He's preparing and looking at a ground invasion. We should speak about what that would take and what you predict would happen if that did. Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to get your take on that. And just the fact that Trump continues to look incredibly weak, saying we got a deal, we don't have a deal, we control the strait, we're going to get 20% out of it. The day later, okay, we can't do that. I mean, this is a disaster. I mean, can you elaborate on what this means to the world?
You know, it is a disaster, and you know this is obviously showing the world that America is in many respects a paper tiger. There's so many aspects to this. When we started this war, we really weren't prepared for it because our bases in the Gulf states are above ground. They were all built on the assumption that our defenses would protect us from anything Iran could throw at them. Or maybe they just didn't think that deeply. But our bases are basically, you know, thin-skinned buildings on parking lots. And they were pummeled. You know, I caught your segment with Nick Fuentes. He made a mistake that's very common. A lot of people are saying, you know, that they've hit the 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain. There's no 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain. That was abandoned. You know, our ships left the Persian Gulf before February 28th. They left. They knew it was coming and that they couldn't defend themselves in the Persian Gulf, especially dockside. So the 5th Fleet headquarters was pummeled. The staff officers, admirals, are out on ships now. They're not in Bahrain. So when we send new weapons into these places, like the we've been hearing about TACM missiles and so on, they're unloaded from airplanes and they're sitting on a parking lot, which makes them very vulnerable to attack. They're not dug in like the Iranian stuff is deep inside of mountains. Yet the Iranians preparing for this war put all of their assets underground. You can't show up in the middle of a war and also start digging bunkers. You know, that takes time. So
I want to talk about the topography of Iran and what a ground invasion would look like. And as you said, he can't do it, as the head of the army told him, and Trump fired him 2 months ago. But before we do that, you have Trump saying literally 2 days ago again, Iran doesn't have any more missiles. We got rid of all their missiles. And then Iran just said, oh, yeah, watch this. Some of the biggest bombardments ever the last 5 days. And it's only intensifying. Iran, according to military experts, it was built like God made it to be impregnable, like Mordor. It's totally surrounded by mountains. And then the Strait of Hormuz is just set up as a death trap. 2,000-3,000 foot sheer cliffs.
That's one of the reasons. That's why Persia has existed as a cultural empire, or as a culture, as an empire for millennia. Because it's like a sweet spot. You know, it doesn't allow them easily to expand outward. They never became the Roman Empire. You know, they fought with the Greeks and so forth. But, you know, in fact, Persia is a Greek word. It's like us calling German instead of Deutsch. So yeah, but the Persians could never be kicked out of there either. Even when Islam took over in a slow, the way that Islam can, it's Islam with Persian characteristics. And it's still the Persian people and Persian culture and Persian language, Iranian language. So yeah, they're never going to be kicked out of there. One of the things that drives me the craziest is people are still thinking if we just bomb them harder, they're going to surrender. They don't understand this is the fountainhead of the Shia religion, right? This is like the Rome of the Shia religion. And it was founded on martyrdom. These were the guys that would not go along with the Sunni assembly of elders approached to selecting the next leader of the faith. The schism was over. We refuse. You have to kill us. Kill us and we still won't do it. Kill us and the people after us won't do it. So Americans saying if we just bomb them harder, they're going to surrender. They're going to submit. It's like telling a bunch of Texas cowboys, you know, if you don't put on lipstick and say you're gay, and you know, we're just going to keep pounding on you. The Texans would. It's like totally missing the culture.
But it's not just Matt. Trump's missing the culture. When Israel advised them to kill the mullah, all the experts said it will make them dig in harder. They're not vertically integrated.
The Israelis knew it.
They have a parallel system. Israel admits they're trying to embroil us in a long-term war as the cover while we get killed and they get killed and we go bankrupt. Then they can expand their Greater Israel project into Lebanon, Syria.
Absolutely.
And so they admit that cold-bloodedly. So when the neocons call us panicans and traitors, we were proven right. The Pentagon knew this. They treasonously, traitorously knew that they were setting us up. This is so cynical. It's so sick. But now that we've been totally proven right, 137 days in, a lot of these neocons really aren't neocons. They're Christian Zionists. They buy into the lie. They don't know what chumps they are. What is your message to them about where this is going? Well, because Iran is winning. This is hurting America and the world economy. We are total chumps. Israel's only thinking about itself. And how do you get these Christian Zionists to get their heads out of their asses?
That I don't know. I think we have to just ignore them and you know point out the foolishness of their belief system. But you know there's a big cost to all of these wars that we've been involved in, mostly on Israel's behalf. And they do understand the psychology of these peoples, and they understand the American psychology. They can work them against each other, like getting us to be the big ogre bear to attack Iran that they could never do. They needed to get the big oaf. That's that Master Blaster meme. You know, the little evil dwarf in the Thunderdome on top of the big goof with a mask. That's us. We're the big goof wearing the mask. They want us to break up Iran the way that Libya has been broken up, Syria has been broken up. Israel wants to be surrounded by failed states that are in civil war. That's easy to control.
That's their admitted plan. So let me just back you up on this. Without even looking, that's a term I use every day, because I'm not looking for prominent rabbis and members of the Knesset and Ben-Gavir. They're all on TV saying, oh, we love this war. Our enemies are killing each other. They call us, I guess, Adam or whatever, or the Romans. And I'm not saying it's all the Jews over there, but a big faction of them literally say, ha, 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 the Americans are going bankrupt and all this fighting our enemy while we expand and take over the lands around us.
Yes.
Netanyahu uses it to stay in power. I mean, it's so cynical.
That's a big part of this, that they do see us still as Rome. They speak about that as Europe, the West, as the new Rome. And they hate us for that. They hate Rome for what they perceive the Romans did to the Jews thousands of years ago. They're still, like Michael Yon said, we've imported all of these, he calls it Jurassic trailer park, these ancient feuds that we don't even understand. So we import this one side in that, the anti-Russian side, the pro-Israel side, and we just assume their feud, and we become the big goon to fight their battles. But the side effect of these wars is the refugee flow, and this is where it ties into that New Rome concept. Syria, all these Syrian refugees, Africa.
Oh, I've got the top rabbi in Israel says we love the Americans doing these wars, then we flood them with the Muslims to kill them, and both our enemies kill each other. I mean, they say it.
We're just being played for suckers every which way you can imagine. But this is not just another war. I would be against it if it was like a Vietnam War or Iraq War, an Afghanistan War. But we could fight those wars for years until we got tired of it, until there was too much domestic pressure, until the economy was too rotten. But it didn't affect the whole world economy. It wasn't, the Vietnam War didn't cause an oil crisis around the globe. Neither did Afghanistan or Iraq. But this does. And I have an analogy. This isn't a fight between armies out in fields. This is a fight between scuba divers in a cave. I forget who calls it it's competitive collapse. Who suffers more and fails first? Which scuba diver in this knife fight in the cave has an air tank that's going to run out first? And both of their air tanks eventually run out. The whole world economy collapses.
Exactly.
So it's not like we can just play this game for the next 3 or 4 years like Afghanistan or Iraq. We are wrecking the global economy, going back to that Michael Adams thing. Michael Adams, right, he said, if we don't have 100 ships going out per day for 100 days starting tomorrow, we're guaranteed a global depression. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
And by the way, those numbers are shared by the stock market, by the analysts, by all of us. We don't just make predictions that come true because we're magical. We don't have crystal balls. Mike Adams, I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm smart too, but I predicted all of this March 1st on 3 Hour Saturday Show. I said, we'll be here in 6 months. It'll start destroying the economy. Israel wants this to be a distraction for chaos while they expand to Lebanon and Syria and want Turkey next. And now they're doing it all. How did I know all this? Because Israel said it. What's crazy is they go on Israeli TV in Hebrew and laugh at us and admit it all. We'll be right back. Wait, go. I'm extremely excited about this. We always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption. Ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. Including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This Raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle. So 2 month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy. Turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free and gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Matt Bracken is doing an excellent job. You notice I'm jumping in to back him up on everything he's saying, because we need to have a real sense of urgency about what's going on. So I want you to elaborate as the break came. On the fact this isn't like Vietnam where we can be there for 11 years or 15, depending on when you really think the war started, 60 or 64, ending in 75. And now Trump alarmingly said 2 days ago, well, we were there 19 years, which wasn't right, of course. So big deal. So he's gone from no new big wars or whatever to big deal. We've had 19-year wars. Can't even get that right. And I don't even want to bash Trump. I'm in pain that he went totally sideways 4 months into this new administration. And, I mean, I was ecstatic the first 4 months. People said, why are you just having orgasms on air? Because it was happening. I mean, he had a rocket tied to his agenda. And since then, we now know Ludnick heavily involved at the island, all the sickness, the 3 million plus emails and photos. I mean, I still go find new ones going through it. And the feds pulled out a bunch of it too. And it's, we're delivering the sex slave, or it's all the money laundering, the weapons, the drug dealing, the genetic engineering. I mean, it's all just thousands of bombshells. And clearly Israel's been blackmailing Trump into this. It all came out that he was high-level Mossad, MI6, CIA, at a nexus point. And where I was wrong is I knew he worked for the Toronto Commission, was on one of the boards. I knew he was tapped by David Rockefeller, but I didn't know it was in 1990 when he was 30. I didn't know that he was the stand-in. The Roman term is legate, meaning speaking for the emperor. He'd have a seal in a paper and a ring, and everybody would know who the legate was. It was usually a senator or somebody, and they spoke for the emperor. Now, the Roman ambassadors at that time spoke, "I am the emperor," with this scroll and with this letter, and so they could sign deals on behalf of the Roman kings, the Caesars. And here we are, and we've been proven totally right. But it wasn't hard. Israel knew what they were doing, and now we're deep into this. So Netanyahu just handed the whole world economy a hand grenade with the pin pulled. And said, "Here, kid, have a candy." And now it's already caused massive devastation in the growing season. They're already estimating tens of millions of more migrants to flood into Europe. Spain's legalized it, so it's a better invasion point. And it's replacement migration. And you look, and then as Mike Adams said in his post, it's dead on. I've scanned over it now. This is already baked in. If we had record levels of the Strait and other things back open, it would take a year and even that can't be really mitigated. But instead, I think this is going to go on indefinitely because Iran says they want $500 billion and they want all U.S. military bases out and they want to enrich uranium but not weapons grade, the lead-in inspectors. And then they came down to $300 billion. And then Israel starts bombing Lebanon and them again. So they say, you're not in control. You don't run your country, so we can't make a deal with you. Every time Trump gets one of these sheets of paper that is just an agreement to have a discussion about an agreement, he says, "I have the deal," like on his birthday at the UFC. It's all done. It's over. It's over 50 times he's done that. And the credibility-killing nature of that, and then the neocons and the white pillar followers, not all of them are operatives, but a lot of them have gotten the $1.3 billion Israel's admittedly out of his Knesset alone funded the last 18 months. They then sit around and say, "We're the reason we're going to lose the midterms." And they say, "We're panicking." And you can say, "Well, just ignore them and move on." Yeah, they're hated. They have almost no viewers, but they give you the mind of even Trump and the White House of him wanting an exit ramp, but there is no exit ramp. And we just need to understand they're going to try to blame myself and Tucker Carlson and you and everybody else for this disaster, even though we're the ones trying to stop it and that are right. And so we need to get on it and start explaining to people where the pain is coming from. The American people already know, all the polls show they're blaming Trump. But at the end of the day, sure, blame him, but Netanyahu deserves the lion's share, and the American people need to understand that so we can dovetail that in to killing the NDAA subsection 219 now. It was 224, which the Senate voted down yesterday, and that was part of the reason, but they're still going to try to bring it back to merge our military with Israelis. So you see this skull right here, folks? BlackRock and the globalists want a dead world economy. They want a collapsed economy. It's called the Great Reset, so that they can pick our bones and dictate the terms of our surrender. Okay, so this is as serious as life and death. So get back into why it's so serious, and then all those things tying into Israel, the NDAA, how it ties together, and what you think the American people should do. Matt Bracken.
Yeah, it's not just the defense authorization. There's also an intel part of that, which merges the CIA and the Mossad.
And, there's a Senate bill. There's a Senate bill does that. Yeah, that's Tom Cotton's.
Yeah, Lutnick lived next door to Epstein. I mean, it's like Get Smart TV show. You know, you've got secret doors, like five stories, they share a wall. Lutnick and so what the FBI has of the Epstein files is probably nothing compared to what the Mossad vacuumed out of there over the years, that they still have on Trump or Trump's associates. And he doesn't, that he doesn't want to blow them all up. But that's what can we do about that? But we are right now in a situation where Trump did have an off-ramp. The MOU was his chance. And he, on June 17th, he signed the MOU. He said in several different interviews he didn't want to be Herbert Hoover. You can debate whether Herbert Hoover caused, or you know, the Great Depression or FDR prolonged it. But in history, what do they say? You know, when fact goes up against the legend, print the legend. The legend is that Herbert Hoover caused the Great Depression. And Trump has said several times, the one president I don't want to be was Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover. So he seemed to be having a clear period there when he signed the MOU. I think that your Robert Barnes has the best take on the disintegration of Donald Trump's mind, the way that he contradicts himself in the same paragraphs as you've pointed out. You know, he'll wake up in the night. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and go 180 to what he said during the day. So whoever is around him, it's almost like he needs to be given the Biden treatment. You know, Biden was, I think, less dangerous because he didn't know what he was saying, but the shadow government around Biden using the auto pen could at least keep our country out of wars.
And by the way, that's a key point. That's why none of the other presidents would ever do this, because the Pentagon explained what you and I explained, which is a fact. And I want to just back up what you're saying. Trump already could be easily influenced the first term. That's why they had headlines. Our job's keeping away from Alex Jones and InfoWars. Now you see reporters can tell him about something that's true. He'll instantly go fire the people and do something back when he was doing more of that. That shows the good Trump. The problem is he's so compulsive and he thinks that's his superpower. And sometimes it's great. He literally, it is the last person that is happy and tells him something and just tells him he's great. And once the man, yeah, twice the child, he's getting more. I've known family that was, you know, really nice, conservative, very classy, and they got a little maniacal once they got dementia. But if you also kissed their ass and told them whatever you wanted, like, I'm not going to the hospital. And like, we're going to go see ponies and go, you know, see the movies and get candy. And they're like, let's go. I mean, because the brain's gone.
It's like taking your dog to the vet.
Yeah.
It's like taking your dog to the vet. You've got to. Yeah, but that's the unfortunate situation we're in, and he had the off-ramp. He could have, as you've said, after the MOU, just relax, pull the Navy back, say, declare victory. You know, most people have such a shallow understanding of this. Fox News will read the party line regardless. So if he declared victory after the MOU and pulled the Navy out, we'd be back. We'd be at least having a chance of recovering from the damage. But the problem is now he's escalating. He's either gearing up for some kind of a land incursion at one of the points inside or outside of the Persian Gulf, which is insane because our Navy won't even go into the Strait of Hormuz. People talk about this southern channel as if the Navy is escorting ships through. The Navy's not getting anywhere near the Strait of Hormuz, which I call a real chickload tankers. Hey, why don't you take this route? Now, our warships will be a few hundred miles over here out of missile range, but why don't you take it? We'll have Apache helicopters and F-16s to protect you. Well, that didn't work last week. You know, they fired actual anti-ship missiles at some of these ships, and that's the end of their route, the southern route. So we don't send Navy ships into the Strait of Hormuz. And you still...
Spend a little time, because we know there's 10,000 Army Rangers in Israel, 5,000 Marines on amphibious ships. They've talked about sending them into Kurg Island at first and then fully. You're an expert on this.
Can you put up number five? That's the yellow.
But explain what it would really take, and then they just resupply even if we took it. And we had the Iran-Iraq war. You give them tens of billions of dollars, killed millions of people, and they didn't give up. This to me, would make Vietnam look like a cakewalk. You explain what would happen if we did a ground invasion?
Yeah, and just stick up that number five, the yellow Persian Gulf map. But the you know, South Vietnam is only one-tenth as big as Iran. In South Vietnam, we owned the ports. We could just drive ships into port, unload tanks, unload. We had 5,000 combat aircraft and 500,000 troops in South Vietnam, which is only one-tenth as big as Iran. So when you see people like Kellogg who are the other ones? General Keane, ex-spook Jim Hansen on Fox News, talking about taking Kurg Island. I think they're out of their minds because it's 600 kilometers. It's 400 miles past the Strait of Hormuz, where our best destroyers won't go, right? They just tell the tankers to try to sneak out, but our ships don't go there. I think our admirals are saving us from this disaster by refusing to send ships in where they know they'll be sunk.
Well, that's right. But Trump has ordered them in, and then they have arguments with him and even kicked him out of the Situation Room. That was confirmed 2 months ago. Because he finally, about a month ago, I should find this and play it again. I don't know if you saw it, Matt. He goes, yeah, we got to end this now. They can keep the strait closed. They've got so many rockets and missiles and cannons, he called it, not knowing it's artillery. Now they've explained that that is all decades of those things. And all they got to do is have artillery or missiles pop up. They fire it. The operators run away. Even if we find it and blow it up, they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of these up and down that damn coast. And all they got to do is...
They've been planning this for decades. They've been planning this for decades. And on the other hand, our installations in the Gulf region are basically containers sitting on parking lots. And now the Russians, remember, this is becoming one global war. So the Russians are now providing satellite and other imagery, electronic and satellite imagery, so that as soon as a C-17 Globemaster lands in Kuwait and unrolls the latest ATACMS, the Iranians know it in real time. They hit the ATACMS installation on the Kuwait-Iraq border before they were even set up. And it's debatable whether any Americans were hurt there. But as opposed to on the other side, the Iranians are dug into hundreds of kilometers of caves and cliffs. Dug in. And like you said, it's like a mouse, a spider hole. They can fire one missile out of one cave, and it doesn't matter if they hit that empty cave, if we hit that empty cave. You know, comparing this to Vietnam, we could fly at will over South Vietnam. We had B-52s dropping iron bombs. You've seen the pictures, just a flood of bombs.
Operation Linebacker.
Yeah, and the Ho Chi Minh Trail the whole time, flying up and down the border in Cambodia and Laos, just dropping more tons of bombs than we dropped in World War II.
Yeah, let's quantify. 7.6 million large bombs, not counting below 500 pound. You can ask ChatGPT, we did. We've dropped about 40,000 bombs, counting Israel. 40,000 versus 7.6 million. And Trump keeps saying, we blew up a lot of stuff. And that's what the Pentagon does. They show him a two-minute reel of them blowing stuff up. And he goes, ooh, we're winning. We blew them up as if that... I mean, Hitler bombed London, and they went from 95% against the war to 99% for the war. What is Trump
exactly?
What is he thinking?
And I'm convinced that a big part of the problem is people have no sense of scale or history. You know, you've seen all these videos, Mark Dice and others, where people don't know who fought in the Revolutionary War. They can't tell you what century the Civil War happened in. You know, so.
They won't give Mark Dice a dollar for a $3,000 pure gold coin. They don't even know it's heavy. He gives it to them. They don't know what gold is.
They'd rather have a candy bar.
Yeah.
It's like we take the Kruger and or a candy bar, they take the candy bar. So if you went into the middle of the Congo or the middle of the Bolivian rainforest and you asked natives, what's bigger, Texas or Rhode Island? They'd have no idea what you're talking about. You know, you could show a picture on the screen of Texas and Rhode Island shown in the same scale, and they would have no idea which one was really bigger. That's how most Americans don't understand. Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. It's bigger than
Do you remember when Tucker asked Ted Cruz, okay, you said we can win a war. How big is Iran? I don't know. How many people? I don't know. Well, it's 93 million. And he goes, Tucker, I don't need to know all that. Well, yeah, you do, you dumb bastard.
It's much more mountainous than Colorado. You know, Colorado's elevation difference from high plains to the highest mountain is only like 10,000 feet. Iran has 18,000-foot mountains from sea level.
Let me do it this way. I want to play a trailer. In the movie Red Dawn, written by the great Millis, that's based on an actual real communist plan to use Latin America to invade us, and Rex 84 was a counter to it. We stop them at the Rockies when the Russians invade out of South America and Central America and Mexico. Why do we stop them? Because that's the natural line, and that's where we've got defenses. Well, Iran has it all the way around it, boys and girls, and is an armed camp. So if Ted Cruz can't understand that, maybe you understand a movie. Let's play The Guns of Navarone, which is a fiction story, but based on real stories about some of the gun emplacements in the Mediterranean that British and other commandos had to go in and take out. So imagine that the Iranians have thousands of guns of Navarone of different sizes all up and down their coast. And yeah, Trump wants to go take Kirk Island.
Or today, missiles of Navarone.
Yes, the missiles. I just use artillery because that's super cheap. And the Iranians, I'm sure you've seen this, have said, you think the North Koreans have 100,000 pieces of artillery on the DMZ, which they can level Seoul with. The Iranians also have the artillery, the short-range missiles, all that stuff. So what I'm saying is, you're right. And they've got the Chinese anti-ship missiles that can evade everything. But that's for our ships. That's why our ships won't get close. Why are they even wasting those, Matt, on tankers they could use artillery on? I'll ask you that question, but here's the trailer for Guns of Navarone for Senator Cruz. Here it is.
Foreman's The Guns of Navarone. The greatest high adventure of our time. With a cast as exciting as the story it tells. Gregory Peck. David Niven. Anthony Quinn. Stanley Baker. Anthony Quayle. James Darren. Irene Pappas, Gia Scala, Alistair MacLean's best-selling novel, Live to the Hilt on the Islands of the Aegean Sea.
This is Gregory Peck speaking. And I'd like to tell you something about The Guns of Navarone, because it's the most unusual film in which I've ever appeared. I play the role of Mallory, the man whose job it is to lead six expert cutthroats and saboteurs on a desperate and impossible mission.
Watch out!
All right, let's stop there and then skip to the end. I said pull the trailer. That's the wrong trailer. They got a shorter trailer that just shows the guns and the battle scenes. But the point is it shows these German guns they're rolling out that are blocking a whole area of the Mediterranean. And just so people understand what that means, you're right, the missiles of Navarone is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and it's not just one cliff along the beach like you had in the cliffs of Dover, and then it's just the fields of Norfolk, England behind that, right? Or that part of East Anglia. It's cliffs, then more cliffs, then more cliffs. So you start at the beach and you've got like Arizona mountains, you know, these sharp angular canyon mountains, and they just get tougher and tougher and tougher up to 18,000 feet right from the beach.
You've done your homework. So, their biggest mountain's 18,000 feet tall.
It would take millions of troops to conquer Iran. I mean, without, you know, just dropping 100 nuclear bombs on it, it would take millions of troops. And after that, you'd have to occupy it forever because they're never going to surrender and say, you're right, we'll become Christians and act like you. Never. You know, if you conquered it in a decade with millions of troops suffering hundreds of thousands of casualties, then you'd have to occupy it forever.
Well, Matt,
it's
remember
a complete fool's errand.
Remember what happened a month and a half ago? They sent those C-130s into that airbase to dig up uranium, use the cover story of a pilot, and there was countless videos of the local sheep herders and farmers with heavy machine guns the government's given them shooting at helicopters and hitting them. So they tell us they all hate us. That's not true. Or they say they all love us. That's not true. They hate us.
Switzerland, another mountain country with a fortress mentality, used to, allegedly all their bridges were prepared to put explosives in to sabotage. In every valley in Switzerland, they had hidden artillery guns, like in haystacks and barns. And the local farmers, their job was like that artillery piece. If the enemy comes, we don't have to call up the guard. It's the local farmers. They train on that gun, hidden in a barn.
Well, let me tell you, it's so true. I've not only read about it in their cantons. Rob Dube spent one winter as an exchange student in college, where he got paid to work up on a mountain and, live there at the ski resort. And when they would go up and do stuff and work on things, they would open up these big giant iron doors that were like hidden and go in, and there'd be like artillery and rocket launchers and machine guns and ammunition. And then they'd get out some of the whiskey that the manager had and drink some of it before they went back down for the day. And that's what they told them. And I've actually seen documentaries about it, is every Swiss house has to have hidden guns. The government tries to come and find them every few years. That's a drill. They're all ready. They've got the bridges all mined and ready. And again, they're surrounded by mountains. The exact same thing, exactly as you're saying.
Another country that has mountains coming from the sea is Norway. And their fjords in some ways are analogous to protecting the Strait of Hormuz. That, you know, if you went up into the major fjords of Norway, you'd be taking crossfire from artillery. And they even have torpedo rooms underwater in Norway where the torpedoes would launch underwater, and the local militia has like the access to the torpedo room to fire them in case Soviet submarines were coming into their fjord. The only thing that they were worried about was having a radioactive leak if they sank a submarine right in their fjord. But they were prepared to do it. You know, they had they would take the turret off old tanks, put them up in the mountains of Norway, and the local farmers, that was like their gun position. You know,
and that goes back to the Dutch did that too for pirates, and they never got invaded. They had the Dutch night guard. In all the little Dutch sea towns, similar stuff, which shows the militia is not just an American thing.
Right. And in the Norwegian example, when the Germans invaded, they did kind of a Trojan horse or speed invasion where they rolled into towns like Narvik with destroyers loaded with extra German troops, just stormed up to the dock, took over the armories, found the mayor, the radio station. So the Norwegians learned from that. If we ever do this, we have to distribute and disperse the stuff so that they can't just do a knockout blow by taking the main armory. You know,
and that's what the Iranians have done, is decentralized their military.
They've learned. They're smart learners, and now they're way ahead of the curve because all of their stuff is dug into caves and under mountains, whereas we have to fly in the C-17 and unload some containers and put it on a parking lot and hope that it doesn't get hit. You know, this is very significant. If you know, it doesn't take much of a charge. I saw the Shahed drones coming down one after another.
Well, Matt, stay there. I've got Patrick Byrne coming up, who just got defaulted by Hunter Biden in the courts, just like I did, and just like Mike Lindell. The judge just finds you guilty. That's coming up. You've got a lot of the breaking news, but I want to do a little bit more time with you because I want to get into Israel, the NDAA. Trump, is he really fighting with Israel? Looks like he's starting to wake up, because I got behind-the-scenes stuff that's happening. I mean, Tucker, back when he talked to him every day, said he absolutely hates Netanyahu. Well, then why is he on a short leash to him? Matt Bracken, what's your X account for people who want to check out all the amazing posts?
It's Matt_Bracken48, and I also have a Substack under my own name.
That's right. We'll be right back with hour number four. Stay with us.
Example on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and will turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all. And secondly, if you notice at the end of that video, he advertises water filters.
Now, you remember for decades I exposed how bad the water supply was, and they'd have David Hogg make fun of me and say it was a scam, and so what if the frogs are gay from the chemicals or trans or become hermaphroditic? Well, that's because their populations collapse and they go extinct, dummy.
He advertises water filters. Interesting.
It's the same thing with humans. Our fertility is being crushed. Our cancer rates are off the charts. And it's because of all the garbage in the food, all the garbage in the water, everything that's happening in our environment. And water is what 70% or more of our bodies are made of. It is so important to do this. It is a no-brainer. Go look at our third-party studies. Go look at our third-party testing. And then go out and try to find a comparable system for less money. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139. But for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So take your destiny in your hands. Don't let the globalists bomb you with these hundreds and hundreds, in some areas, thousands of chemicals. Don't let them bomb your children with it. Take action. Fund our information warfare operation against the globalists. Get healthier. Win-win. That is what it's all about. But you've got to take action. You've got to take control of your life. I am so proud of this bad boy. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead System. That's the housing. Just screws on in seconds. No plumbers. Beautiful box. Absolute high quality and a happy little straight frog that you look up at every morning, reminding you that you're not poisoning yourself, your wife, your husband, your children. Secure yours now while supplies last at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.